Boy, Rags, it gets pretty cold out here in the desert at night. Rags, that's a heck of a name for a donkey. But when I saw you in that market on that day, you looked a little ragged. You know, coat all shabby and matted. You don't look like that anymore, but the name Rags kind of stuck. I hope that doesn't hurt your feelings. You know, Rags, if someone would have told me that 10 months ago that I would be in the middle of the desert talking to my donkey, I would have told them to bug off. They were crazy. But here I am in the middle of the night, in the middle of the desert, and talking to you. And maybe I am crazy. I don't know. You know, everyone else back at the campfire is asleep. And Rags, you've always been a good listener, and I've got to talk to someone. Those people back there sleeping, they would either just keep falling asleep or they would keep interrupting me and tell me to forget it. It didn't happen. Or I'm making a sand dune out of a desert rat hill. But Rags, it did happen. And I have to talk it out or to understand it, to understand all the stuff that's happened. And so, Rags, lend me your ear as you've done so often. I guess the place to begin is at the beginning, at the very beginning, with Mary. Mary, the center of my dreams ever since I first saw her that first day in Nazareth. When I stopped at the town well, and there she was, drawing water. I couldn't resist helping her. Besides, any assistance I could offer her would be just kind of an introduction. You remember, Rags. That was the day we had just come to Nazareth, and we didn't know anybody. There wasn't any carpentry work in Bethlehem, and word had trickled down that they needed a carpenter in Nazareth, and so we pulled up stakes and struck off for the new town. And I don't mind telling you, I was pretty scared. Strange town and no family or friends. And Mary was a bright spot in my day of gloom. Well, I stepped right up and helped her with her water, and she was so thankful. And everything seemed to be right, Rags. We felt comfortable with each other right away. I must admit, I was surprised and hopeful when I heard that she was unattached. You know, she wasn't seeing anybody. Well, I mean to tell you, I saw a lot of Mary. What's that look in your eyes? Oh, you know I saw a lot of Mary because I didn't spend a whole lot of time with you. I guess you're right. Well, pretty soon the feeling of marriage was in the air. I proposed to Mary, and she accepted. I was the happiest man in the world walking on air. It appeared that that faint glimmer on that first day at the town well would blossom into a fantastic marriage. Could it be true? Could it really be happening to me? Could it really happen? It sure looked like it. And so we began making plans. The betrothal period is a year. Rags, boy, that seemed to like last forever, but I guess we needed the time to complete all the arrangements. Who knew there was so much to do in planning a wedding? And then it happened. My air cushioned sandals deflated, and I landed with a hard thump on the bottoms of my feet. The sun went out of my life. My dreams shattered, and they fell at my feet in many pieces. Mary was pregnant. Oh, Rags, you remember those nights? I couldn't sleep, and I bent your ear a lot. At first, I couldn't believe it. Not my Mary. She's a good girl. Comes from the right house. Respectable family. And finally it sunk in that she was pregnant. And my mind seemed to dissolve. I couldn't think of anything. I was dazed. The only thing I knew was I wasn't the father. I thought she loved me. And here she goes and gets pregnant by somebody else. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't work. I was so upset. My stomach was tied in knots. I tossed all night. I bent nails. I hit my thumb countless times. And customers complained about the shoddy work. I was almost ruined. It was only talking with you that I reached a satisfactory decision. You remember it, Rags. I decided that I really loved Mary in spite of what she had done. I couldn't put her through the public disgrace of a large formal divorce, and so I would do it quietly and privately, just in front of two witnesses. She'd hurt me deeply, Rags, but I just couldn't hurt her and back in vengeance. I felt much better after that decision. I had shed a lot of tears and many hours over what to do. I was relieved that the decision was made, and I went back to bed, and I went to sleep right away. That night, I had a dream. I dreamt that one of God's angels visited me. Imagine that. An angel visiting me. That's right, Rags, an angel visiting me. That angel said that Mary was pregnant by the Holy Spirit and that it was all right to follow through with the wedding plans. He even said that the name should be Joshua or Jesus in Greek, and that his birth was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy concerning Emmanuel, God with us. I woke up the next morning and I did as I had dreamed. I hadn't told Mary about thinking about divorce, but she knew I was upset even when I was real quiet. I told Mary we would get married and everything would work out all right. I didn't know why I thought it would be all right. I was confused, but somehow there was a desire within me to go on with the plans. And Rags, you know the rest of her pregnancy wasn't easy. Whenever we walked through the streets of Nazareth, people would look at Mary and me and murmur, and I knew what they thought. They thought Mary was a loose woman. I wanted to rush up and tell them, no, it wasn't like that at all. But Rags, how could I explain something I didn't even understand? I endured those months at best. Something helped me with that burden. Maybe that was God. Well, about the eighth month, Caesar Augustus announced a census, and everyone had to go to the town to register to the place where they were born. Well, that was both a blessing and a curse. A blessing because it would get us out of town and away from the stares of the town folk when we walked around, but a curse because, well, you know how difficult it is to travel with a pregnant woman that far along. And what about my trade? How could I afford to travel and leave my work? Yeah, I wanted to go, and yet I didn't. But there wasn't a choice. We had to go. Caesar had ordered it. The trip to Bethlehem wasn't bad. But brother, when we got there, it was like something else. It was gate-to-gate people. Every room was filled. We arrived late at night, and wouldn't you know it, Mary was starting in labor. I pounded on the door of the inn. There was no answer. Her moans drove me to pound louder. And finally, the innkeeper answered from the upstairs window. And I guess I woke him up, and he was mad. He shouted, go away, and he turned to leave. But I called him that we must have a place. And I thought he was going to throw something at us, but he flung out his arm, and he pointed it to the stable and said, go. It wasn't much, but it would do. And we got there none too soon. Mary was almost ready. I heard someone behind me, and I turned around to see the innkeeper's wife. She had been awakened by me pounding on the door, and then she heard Mary's moaning, and she was a midwife. Well, in no time, I found I was a proud papa. I had a son, the firstborn child. The night went so fast. I guess I was too excited to notice. It seemed like one instance it was around midnight and the next it was light. And by then I was settling down a bit and thinking about sleep. And I started to look for a place to lay in the hay when some shepherds walked in. They fell down in front of Jesus and praised God. I could only look at them in bewilderment. Rags? Where'd they come from? Who are they? And shortly they told the story of watching their sheep that night, angels singing bright lights in the sky, and being told a Savior of Israel was born in Bethlehem. And they were filled with a strange excitement, and they came to see. Yeah, Rags, quite frankly, I would have thought those boys were checking for leaks in the wineskins if I hadn't had that dream a while back. At least I knew if I was seeing and hearing things, other people were too. The shepherds stayed a while and then left, and Mary and I were alone, and we just looked at each other. And neither one of us understood what was happening. The only thing we knew was we had a son. We moved out of the stable as soon as there was a room available in the inn. And Mary rested and cared for the baby while I registered for the census. It was the first time I had been out since we'd come to town, and perhaps I stayed longer than I should have. And when I looked at the sun, I couldn't believe how late it was, and I hurried back to the inn. And I noticed the door was open, and I heard voices. I walked in, and boy, my eyes popped out. I almost had to catch it with my hands. There were these three men dressed finer than I'd ever seen before. They were kings from a distant land, come to worship the King of the Jews. And me, a carpenter, and they kings. I was almost too embarrassed to be in the same room with them. How'd they know? Rags, how'd they know? They even brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they said they had come to worship. They did, and just as quickly, they had left. Shepherds, wise men. Oh, just thinking about it gave me a headache. So much so I had trouble sleeping that night too. And when at last I slept, I had another dream. And this time the angel told me to take Mary and the baby and go to Egypt. The child was in danger. Something about Herod wanting to kill him. That's how we got here. Luckily, there was a caravan passing by on its way to Egypt, and they let us follow along. Rags, what does it mean? I don't understand. After the first embarrassment over Mary's pregnancy, things slowed down, but now there are shepherds and wise men and dreams and more dreams. Now, how does one sort it out? You know, Rags, I keep hearing the words of the angel that first night. Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. And the angel quoted Isaiah, his name shall be called Emmanuel. And the shepherds said that the angels had told them that a Savior was born. And boy, Rags, we do need a Savior. Someone who will overthrow Rome and give us our land back. But the angel said he would save us from our sins. Oh, I don't know what to do. Rags, I look at the little child. I look right into his face, trying to see, trying to understand all that has happened, but nothing seems to click. But Rags, you know, there's one thing that's strange, and I can't get over it. When I look at that baby, he looks just like my father. Then I look again, and he looks like Mary's father. The innkeeper's wife said he looked like her father. And then some of the people that were in the caravan said when they looked like their father. Why does he look like everybody's father? Dreams? Shepherds? Wise men? Jesus, Emmanuel. God with us, Emmanuel. God with us, God with us. That's it, Rags. That's it, God with us. That's why he looks like everyone's dad. He is the father of everyone, the father of us all. Somehow, don't ask me how, but that's God, Rags. That's God. God become a man. That's what it's all about. God's right here with us, not out there someplace. Right here, Rags. Right here. Rags, who would have believed he would have become one of us? Mary, I've got to go tell Mary. I've got to tell her God is with his people. Let us pray. Almighty God, you came in Jesus Christ and dwelt among us. Thank you. Amen.